This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another candidate interview today, and we're talking to Donna Smith, the Constitution Party candidate running for governor in Oregon. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So tell people a little bit about maybe your background, your career, some of the things you've done over your life, that kind of thing.
Okay. I was born a family of five. I'm the oldest of five. I had three younger brothers and a baby sister who had cystic fibrosis. She was diagnosed when she was about a year and a half old. And that sort of taught me an awful lot about the medical field, and I actually participated in some of her physical therapy. We lost her due to malpractice in 1969 when she was 5.5 years old. And that kind of made a decision for me that I might want to go in the medical field and might want to become a nurse because of what I saw happening with the nurses' strike that actually led to my sister's passing. I entered the military in 1974, right out of high school, and volunteered for Vietnam to be part of the Amerasian baby lift operation and bring our soldiers home. It was at the tail end of Vietnam. And they rerouted me as a medical corpsman, also trained as a combat medic and a triager. They rerouted me to Korea. I got there December of 74, Vietnam fell April 75, and I was actually working on the psychiatric ward with drug and alcohol detox and open and closed psychiatric wards with many of our soldiers coming straight from the jungle and out of Vietnam into Korea before they came home. So that kind of launched my career. I went in for three, stayed for four, and as soon as I got out, I became a mother. My firstborn son, I didn't want to drag him and my husband at the time all around the world. So I went in the Army Reserve, and I did a combination of 10 years of active duty and the rest of the 35 years. I did 6 years National Guard and 20-something years active Army Reserve. And I, at that time, became a licensed nurse, and I've gotten five college degrees. I have five children, ages 29 to 45, four boys and a girl. And I've always stressed upon them being active in their communities, working grassroots volunteerism, and to always make sure you give back to society.
So talk about the political side. Where does that come into your equation?
Well, I first started off when I was in the military. I was still writing for newspapers like I did in high school. And I've been an international radio talk show host as a volunteer, non-paid, for 27 years. Heard all around the world as Maggie Rose or Maggie Rose McGrath with the Concord Hour, later the Concord Show. I took a short break for a period of time. Alex Jones ended up getting my show, and that's what launched him on his career. I became a student senator here at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg, Oregon. I was on the student government there as a non-traditional older student. And I ended up becoming a PCP with the Republican Party here in Roseburg and Douglas County. I've been a Republican all of my 47 years. I still am a Republican in many ways, but I'm also a moderate in some ways. My mother was a Democrat. She went from the Republican Party to the Democrat Party. And so she taught me more of tolerism and being able to work together with Republicans and Democrats, trying to find the commonality between us rather than this infighting and tit for tat. So as a PCP in the Republican Party, I found there were some very serious issues going on, and there were things that I, as a little minnow, couldn't do anything about. And because I took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I see we have some domestic enemies, homegrown here in the United States, I decided to go to the Constitution Party where I could continue to feel like I could really uphold my oath and be here for Oregonians.
So how long have you been part of the Constitution Party?
I went to their first primary. Their primary is only allowed to be held a few days after the main primary, which was, I think it was May 17th, 2022. So I went to their primary, which was a few days later on the 21st, where I thought I was going to be a county chair. And they said that they were interviewing about seven people to be their candidate, gubernatorial candidate for the Constitution Party. And they did a couple different processes of election, and each time it came down to I was the one that they chose. And so they asked me if I would consider, because of my leadership background, I have 35 years of unblemished career in the military. I've been a leader, and I think a good leader has to also be a good follower and a good listener. And so they asked me to run, and I agreed I would. But we had some things that were kind of thrown on the wheels during the first part of the summer that the Secretary of State had to iron out. And I have to say, even though people say that the Secretary of State is a Democrat and everybody there must be very liberal, those people are very fair and they fall within the law. They follow the law. And at the end of the day, by the 30th of August, they came out to find that everything was okay, that the Constitution Party was following their bylaws. They were meeting the different things that the Secretary of State told us to do in order to make what we call remedies. And those remedies were all satisfied by the Secretary of State by the 30th of August. So therefore, all of us candidates that were selected and elected, nominated in the Constitution Party were allowed to again be on the ballot. And so I actually started officially running my my campaign on 30 August, which only gives me 2 months. And I did it without a campaign manager, but I have a treasurer, I have a staff, and I'm running for the office of governor. And I know what the odds are, and I know what might be happening after the 8th of November, but that's not going to stop me from getting my voice out and speaking, especially for those in rural Oregon and eastern Oregon, where I've been for the last 2 months. I've been on the campaign trail all over the state.
So this has been quite a quick last few months for you.
It has been crazy. But one of the good things is I believe in a supreme being or a creator. And I believe that he or she or it has put me in this place for a reason. And even if I lose, I haven't really lost. I've been all as far as up in Joseph and Wallawa, Enterprise, Oregon. I've been interviewing ranchers and farmers regarding their water rights, the introduction of wolves, what their homelessness. There's a lot of homelessness in eastern Oregon. People think they only see in urban cities, but there's a serious homeless problem all throughout the state. And rural Oregonians in eastern Oregon, they feel they're not being listened to by Salem or Portland, that Salem only cares about Portland, Salem, Eugene, and maybe Medford. And so they want me to be their voice. And I said I would continue even after the 8th of November to speak for them.
So what do you feel like the main issues are in statewide government that are kind of driving your interest?
I have always been very concerned about homelessness. Many people here can verify that I've been dealing with the homeless issue, especially with us veterans. We have a lot of men and women that are living in the streets or living under the bridges, even here in Roseburg, in their cars. And that has been something that I've been dealing with for quite some time. Also, child trafficking up and down the I-5 corridor. It's something nobody wants to talk about. There's even child trafficking going on within the CPS, the Child Protective Services here in the United States. And I came back from Las Vegas a few months ago, where I met with the gentleman who played Jesus Christ in The Passion of Christ, put out by Mel Gibson. Jim Cavese actually made a film. He starred in it, and I was one of the first people to ever see the film. It was a private VIP showing in Las Vegas, and I met with him later for dinner. And it's called The Sound of Freedom. Hollywood does not want this film to go out. And we've been trying to get it out for some time now. The Sound of Freedom is the true story of Tim Ballard, who worked for Department of Homeland Security on the border. And he uncovered a case of child trafficking and he followed it through. And the movie is all about the beginning of his story dealing with child trafficking here in the United States and also around the world. So that has been something that's been very concerning to me, is the human and sex trafficking here in Oregon. They tell us that Oregon is one of the worst states for child disappearances and human and sex trafficking, as well as homelessness. And so that, along with the issues we're having with our education system here in Oregon, are the main key issues that I'm working with.
Let's talk about the state budget. What, you know, when you see the state budget, what are your thoughts about maybe how you would shift spending priorities, et cetera?
First of all, I would have what I tell people is what I call King Arthur's Round Table. As a nurse, I speak sometimes graphically in pictures. People understand that. We're going through what I call an arterial bleeding right now. We can't do the Band-Aid approach anymore. No more of the lip speak or the other three women running against me. They're making all these promises. All three were in legislature up until recently. I wasn't. They had an opportunity to really deal with the homelessness, which creates mental illness, more mental illness, which creates more drug and alcohol addiction, which then leads to more crime. They've had plenty of opportunity that I haven't had to be able to deal with this, and they haven't. Now they're promising us that they get this position that they're elected into, and they end up being the governor, they're going to all of a sudden deal with these issues. Well, you know, they're going to say whatever they can say to get the vote. But I truly believe that what is going on with our financial situation here in Oregon is an arterial bleeding. Financially, money is going somewhere. We don't know where it's all going. It's going into a big black hole or to a general fund to be put into other areas. I believe what we need to do is sit down, the Democrats, Republicans, and the independents and the libertarians, sit down at what I call my King Arthur's round table. I would remove the front door from my office, and we would truly have a discussion of what we can all do to deal with things. Even the PERS system, some people want to completely do away with it. That's not right to the teachers that are out there working really hard right now in the trenches. I don't believe in getting rid of the PERS system. I need to maybe have us all look at how we can make it so it's fair to those that have already retired, those that are about to retire, and those that put their faith in the PERS system when they first came into teaching. So we really need to kind of look at our money and make sure it's going in the right places for the right reasons.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. Donna Smith, the Constitution Party candidate for governor. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth, part of KQEN Local Talk. That is ahead at 4. And non-affiliated candidate for Governor Betsy Johnson on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Donna Smith, Constitution Party candidate for governor. And might mention to folks that not only are you running for statewide office, but you actually have been in Douglas County for a long time. Tell us about that.
Yes, we were living a very short time in Coos, and then we were living in North Bend for probably, I guess, about 3 months, helping someone to sell their home and build a new home. We were right off of the lake there. They actually, their old home was off the lake. And then we moved here to Roseburg. We got the calling, and we found that this was a very conservative community in a lot of areas. There was a fine mix of both conservative and liberal, and I like that. And my sons went to Fir Grove, and he was in elementary school there. And then the other two boys ended up also going to schools here. And all three graduated in Roseburg High School. They graduated in 06, 07, and 2012. And all three of them have attended at one time or another Umpqua Community College. Like my husband and I did a few years ago, we went back as non-traditional students. So we are truly Douglas County. We love this county.
Let's talk about some of the other statewide issues. What about forest policy on the state lands? Obviously, the federal government is its own situation, but in terms of what the governor could do and maybe make changes in state land policy, what are your thoughts?
I believe that it's really important that the governor understands, whoever he or she is, that Oregon belongs to Oregonians. And if you look at the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, and you look at what's been happening, the federal government is not allowed to own any land other than, let's say, our Veterans Administration campus, which is here. It's government property. The National Guard Armory that is here, I think Charlie Company is there here in Roseburg. I've actually been stationed with that company at one point in time when I was on active duty. Also, we are allowed to have, the federal government can have ownership or control of import, export, some of the shipping ports. And then under the U.S. Constitution, only 10 by 10 by 10 by 10 miles square wide of the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C. The federal government is not supposed to be owning any of our land or taking land away from people. The BLM, Bureau of Land Management, I want to stress that means Bureau of Land Management, not Black Lives Matter, has been basically usurping and taking people's property away in very legal and illegal ways. Actually, not legal ways. They found loopholes where they were able to do this. And right now, the federal government owns or and has control of about 60%, if not a little bit more, of our forest and our natural resources. We need to give that back to Oregon. The governor should be willing to sit down with the county commissioners in all 36 counties and say, listen, we need to take back our property, our land. We can better manage our forest lands than the federal government has been doing. Many of our fires have been because there hasn't been proper maintenance and cleaning up of the dead and dying trees, the slash that could have been turned into compost and things that we could actually do something with. The federal government has been piss poor at managing the forests and our natural resources that now they believe that they are in control of and they own. We could do a far better job as Oregonians in doing that. And the loggers I've interviewed, I've met with over the last 20 years, I've interviewed for my own newspaper articles I've written, have all shown to me they are true stewards of the land. They understand what's going on with the forestation, the reforestation we should be doing, and making sure that we clear the underbrush of these dead and dying trees. We wouldn't have near the wildfires we're having here, the destruction of homes and people's lives, if we Oregonians could be in charge of our own state, our own natural resources.
Now, a lot of people take a look not just at positions on issues, but kind of leadership style when they're evaluating a candidate. If you were governor, how would you govern and work with the legislature?
First of all, I don't like what's happened in the past where it's been more like a tyrannical leadership or government, a dictatorship. Many times it's been generated by governors in the past listening to controlling media or those that have influenced them with their pocketbook. We have outside corporations and others coming in, purchasing our votes. Like they've got one person, Phil Knight of Nike, has given over $3 million to two of my competitors. And when he thought the third competitor was going to win, he gave her recently $1.5 million. That's like purchasing Oregonians. It's purchasing our votes. And they have the big money now, the millions, to get up and do TV ads at $60,000 for one 30-second spot. I don't have that kind of money. I've got my voice. I've got my honesty and integrity. I cannot be bought. And I believe what the governor needs to do is be able to say, look, it, I'm not going to be bought. I'm not going to be bribed. I'm not going to be coerced. If I take $45,000 from Pfizer, like the other three of my competitors recently did, then what favors am I going to owe Pfizer when I'm in the governor's office? Am I going to be then manipulated to try to force Pfizer shots on children as a prerequisite to them going into school or going back to school? So I believe the governor needs to say, I cannot be bought, I cannot be coerced, I cannot be bribed. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I believe the governor needs to say, I am a voice for all Oregonians, regardless of their sexual gender, their color skin, their religious background or not, whatever their economic, social background is. I, the governor, has to speak for all of them. And the good governor needs in a leadership style to not only be a listener, but also to be a leader who is a leader and a follower. And what do I mean by that? A good leader knows when to step back and follow the decisions and the desires of all Oregonians, which is a good for all. It's a win-win for all. And that means a certain amount of compromise. Compromise does not mean being bought out by big corporations outside Oregon. Compromise means making sure that everybody has a seat at the table.
Now, we've got a couple minutes left. I want to hit a few other things. It's been an interesting year politically in this race, especially as you've gone out there and done this, kind of in a different style, being a late entrant in some ways. What's the response been to your running?
Truthfully, there's a lot of anger. Most of the anger is coming from people who are saying, why didn't we know about you? Why are we now hearing that Fox News and others across the nation are saying that there's three women running for governor making history when there's actually four of you? We are tired of voting for the lesser of two or three evils. They've seen all three of my competitors in the legislature selling out Oregonians in one way or another, selling out to the special interest, the lobbyists, and those people that are not even in the state of Oregon, some of them even overseas. And they're angry that they were not allowed to know about me even 2 months ago. I've not been allowed to be on the debate stage with the other three. I've been told by the Oregonian and Willamette Weekly that because I'm not bringing in millions of dollars from people like Phil Knight and Pfizer, that I don't have a right to have a voice. I don't have a right to be heard. I don't have a right to sit at the table with those women and debate with them and let the people truly make a decision out of their conscience, a well-informed decision. They said, if we had known about you, we would have not made some of the decisions we've made recently. There is also some other anger coming from people who are Republicans like I've been. I call myself a constitutional Republican. I have not left the Republican Party. They've abandoned many of us. And so a lot of people are saying that they believe that I'm doing the right thing. They stand behind me. And even though it seems like there's fewer of us than there are of them, eventually you're going to hear a roaring across the state. And I'm not going anywhere after November the 8th, regardless of what happens.
All right, Donna Smith, the Constitution Republican Party candidate for governor. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
1257 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.